Hi, I come from Colorado State University. I'll be presenting some of my work for my dissertation. I was working with Dr. Harrison Hughes in the Horticulture Department, as well as Mina Balkapal in the Education Department. So I did an interdisciplinary degree. So the purpose of the study was to evaluate the effectiveness of using plant science as a vehicle for integrating STEM and Common Core content in a qualitative case study at an elementary school. So I'll be talking about the need for curriculum resources that encourage students to choose STEM-related careers, including plant and food sciences, and the effectiveness of using plant science to teach math, science, and nutrition literacy. There's a lack of existing curricular materials that use plant science as a vehicle for integrating STEM and Common Core content while promoting nutrition literacy at the elementary level. And my first paper, which I will not be focusing on today due to time, was the actual development of the curriculum. It was a hybrid project-based framework designed to use life science content as a vehicle for integrating STEM and Common Core content. And the development of the edible plants curriculum using this hybrid framework. So first I created the curriculum and then I tested it. So what I'll be focusing on today is the actual implementation and evaluation of the edible plants curriculum at an elementary STEM school. So we'll start with the statement of the problem. The Program for International Student Assessment, PISA, in 2009 reported that U.S. 15-year-old students' average math literacy scores of 474 was lower than the average of 498 of the participating countries, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development countries. So this average score was not measurably different from their results in 1995, so they're not improving. And also you can see that their science and reading scores are just a little bit above average. Also, the McKinley Global Institute in 2011 indicated the need to increase STEM workforce in the United States. So there are fewer top performing high school students that are choosing STEM-related careers, only 10% in 2005 versus 30% in 97. Also, the Bureau of Labor predicted in 2004, in the next 10 years, agriculture and food science jobs will grow by 9%. Soil and plant science jobs will grow by 8%, but our students will not be prepared to take these jobs. Continuing on with another problem that we're facing is the obesity epidemic that we see in the United States. Colorado is one of the fittest states, so I feel like it's a good place to start this work and really helping our kids deal with their understanding of nutrition and how crops affect their body weight. You can see also that the overweight children is on the rise as well. So another problem that we're faced with is elementary teachers are challenged because they have to teach several disciplines, and they are not trained for that. Teachers do not feel they have the knowledge or experience to teach the science or math. They really focus on language, arts, and math somewhat, and then history. So there's no guidance about how these teachers can achieve the new standards within a very limited time. They don't have the science training and they don't have the curriculum, yet they're required to meet these standards and help these students augment their science and math. So for my case study, my questions were, how do teachers choose to implement the lessons, including modifications made to the lessons that I created? Do teachers find the lessons plans meet the standards and the 21st century skills targeted, because that's what their focus is on at that level? And do student learner outcomes indicate measurable progress in acquiring the knowledge and skills targeted, as well as what aspects of the curriculum make it attractive to elementary school teachers? What do elementary school teachers need to be able to integrate project-based agricultural STEM curriculum materials into existing curriculum? So my site was an elementary school in Fort Collins, Colorado, with about 320 students in grades K through 5. This is a middle income school serving approximately 16% students who qualify for free and reduced lunch. It's also an autism site, provides special services for students on the autism spectrum. And they also are aiming to be a STEM elementary school. So that has not yet been defined, what it means to be a STEM elementary school, but they're trying to infuse science, technology, engineering, and math throughout their core curriculum. So I use the teacher-centered system reform model. This is created to describe different reform efforts within schools. It centers on teachers' beliefs, which is a precursor for teacher practices. It also takes into account school, local, regional, and state contexts. This model was appropriate for my study because it centers on teachers' perceptions and it centers on a single school reform effort. So it was a qualitative, singular, instrumental, and pragmatic case study. The edible plants case study focused on a single school, a STEM elementary school, as an instrumental example of STEM elementary schools with a pragmatic focus on several specific questions that were defined in advance of the study. We used the Robert Stakes recommended approach of data collection. It was chosen because data being collected through a variety of different means, such as interviews, observations, audio and video, as well as documents, student artifacts. This data collection was appropriate because similar findings indicate through different means can enhance the theory generating capacity of the case and also support the validity of the assertions made by the participants in the case as well as the researchers' perceptions. Additionally, documenting that similar findings related to a question originating from different collection methods is also an effective way of managing the subjectivity of the researcher's observation and allows the case to speak for itself. So there were three interventions that were conducted, each involving students from two third grade classes and their teachers. The teachers reviewed the edible plants curriculum website and selected parts of the lesson that they wanted to implement between the potato and tomato unit. I also had a sweet potato yam unit that the teachers chose not to implement. The materials from the potato unit were taught twice to two different classes, once to 33 students and the second time to 25 students. The materials from the tomato unit were taught to a class of 33 students. The school's STEM coordinators, two gifted and talented professional educators, and two parent volunteers were involved in the intervention. Also, videos and classroom intervention totaled 10 hours and then were transcribed for analysis. Then also I used my observations. So here we have just showing you all the data that was collected, my observational field notes, and then I spent three separate years at their STEM night that they do once a year. I did informal interviews with the staff and faculty. I also videoed the intervention and then analyzed it. I looked at student artifacts. I had formal interviews with teachers pre and post. I looked at the school's mission as far as them wanting to be a STEM school and what that meant to them. So I looked at their website, their newsletters, and talked to parents on the site. And I took all those data and analyzed it using that constant comparative analysis with the open coding process that involved identifying teachers' responses to the curriculum and supporting evidence from multiple sources of data. The second round of coding involved collapsing these initial codes into selective codes, which fell into two categories, incentives and barriers. Finally, the selective codes were once again collapsed into axial codes that were informed by social cognitive theory and the teacher-centered system reform model. These codes included knowledge, skills, attitudes, perception, and behavior. Then I also used some descriptive stats to analyze the evaluation of the curriculum materials during formal interviews with the two third grade teachers and the STEM coordinators. And then descriptive stats were used to analyze the student-learner outcomes pre- and post-intervention. This method was used in order to provide summaries about the sample and measures as well as simple graphic analysis. So here is my teacher-centered systematic reform. As you can see on this side, we have the lower elementary teachers and the upper elementary teachers that were interviewed, and they the lower elementary teachers implemented parts of the tomato unit once and implemented parts of the potato unit twice with two different groups of students, and they plan to implement parts of the tomato unit in the future because they have a pizza garden, so that was kind of their incentive to do that. The older elementary teachers just evaluated the curriculum but did not implement it because they felt that it didn't fit into their current curriculum. And their practices usually for fifth grade was that they would work with the kindergartners. That was their STEM. So they didn't have specific time. They just went and worked with the kindergartners and helping them in their school garden. So what the teachers thought was that it was enjoyable to them and the teachers and the students, and it was relevant to their school garden projects, so that was an incentive for them to do it. It was standard-based and relevant to their current curriculum. It was easy and free to access. I just downloaded it off of a Google site, and there were complete units and lesson plans. The part that in the practice, they only used the social studies, math, and language arts component of the curriculum. So they were basically cherry-picking the lesson components and only taught the garden components with support from parents or other experts. So basically, I had to go in and do all of the plant part, planting the seeds, talking about the science side of it. They did not feel comfortable doing that. So the structural and cultural content at the national and state level, the state assessment data was highly valued. There's an emphasis on STEM curricular, Common Core standards, childhood obesity, and nutrition, which are national and state concerns. For the school, it's an elementary school that I said before is trying to have a STEM focus, and they have an award-winning principal who kind of led that push to turn their school into a STEM school, and she is a spouse of a College of Ag administrator, so that might be part of the reason. And the school is located approximately five miles from a mid-sized land-grant university, which would be Colorado State. And we talked about the upper and lower elementary and the fact that it was a third-grade class, and it happened in 2003 in the spring and fall semesters. And I'm running out of time. And so this is another graphic of the incentives and barriers, but I'm going to move on because I've already basically talked about them. And this is a graph of some of the student learner outcomes. I had several graphs, but I took them out because of time constraints. And so in this graph, you can see that because it's a STEM school, they already have some knowledge of science-related questions. So we asked them questions in the beginning about how much they knew about the crop before we even got started. And they already had a lot of scientific-type questions. But then after the intervention, you can see that they still wanted to know more, so that was exciting. Let's see, how much time do I have?
About a minute left.
Okay, so the summary was that the curriculum was effective for using a vehicle to integrate STEM in the 21st century skill in Common Core, and the teachers and staff members involved did not feel they had the training needed to teach plant science. They did not consider plant science STEM, which I found interesting, and they did not see the value of repeating activities, exercises across content and grade levels, and time constraints kept the teachers from implementing all three lessons, and classroom management was a constant challenge throughout the intervention. Maybe I can talk about my recommendations and implications after I have time. Okay. So I think marketing the curriculum a little bit differently would have helped to get full buy-in from all of the teachers. And I think I think that they need professional development in order to buy into the fact that teaching about plants is STEM, and I think that they need maybe some professional development before, not just giving them the curriculum, but actually going through the curriculum with them, and also maybe having a video, a PDL that goes with it, that kind of they could use as a tool either before they even implement the lesson or even during the lesson, so it kind of sets it up for them so they don't feel like they need help. And I also think that maybe doing an after-school program or a year-long program that keeps it going, because the garden usually is not really accessible until the summer months. And I'm going to leave it at that because I think I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you.